Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swoon.
Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel this whole.
Welcome to Love Bites on Heritage Radio Network, where dining and dating collide in New York City. I'm one of your hosts, Jacqueline Raposo, food writer. You can catch me on everything as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight and single.
And I am Ben Rosenblatt, your other host. I'm an actor, writer, musician, occasional bartender and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33, straight and so single.
So single. Down the line, we're going to be joined by Jessica Tom. She's got her first novel, Food Whore, coming out October 27th. And she worked at the dating app How About We for a few years. Plus, at the end of the show, Ben and I are going to make our dating profiles fit for radio. So stay tuned for that. But first, Ben, let's talk about offline dating.
Finally.
We've talked about online dating for 5 weeks now. We're going offline.
I'm almost embarrassed that we have to talk about offline dating as though it's this, like, dinosaur.
I know. But I had, like, our shows have I don't know, brought so many things to the forefront of my mind in everyday life. And I had a really good week last week. I had, like, the food writer's dream week, where, like, I went to a dinner at the James Beard House with Chef Todd Kelly of Cincinnati, and it was the New York City Food and Wine Festival, so I was having a breakfast at midnight in Harlem on Saturday.
Oh,
it was, yeah, I was hanging out with Tiffany Amber Thiessen and
Kelly Kapowski?
All right, so I didn't
You didn't tell me this. I am like...
Well, because I didn't actually meet her. There was a line to meet her, but she was the host of the sandwich event that I went to on Saturday. I know. Like, I had so many lines in my head that I was just going to start screaming out at her. No, it was just her. She was beautiful and lovely. It was very exciting. And then I was in Minneapolis for 2 days for a very quick press trip, and I went to Spoon and Stable, which is my darling friend Chef Gavin Kaysen's restaurant, and I went to the Hmong Market, and I went to Revival and had the best fried chicken I've had in forever.
You poor thing. It sounds like you just had a really boring
week. It was a really boring week.
Sorry.
It was like the best week a food writer could ask for. But I found myself in a hotel room in downtown Minneapolis at the Radisson Blue. It's a beautiful hotel in downtown Minneapolis, in this gorgeous room where there was a bottle of wine waiting for me, and everything was. And wasn't a Gewurztraminer or something. It was a Pinot Blanc. It was Pinot Blanc. But I think I even tweeted under our account, like, I don't know if being alone makes this better or worse.
Well,
because,
since, have you answered that question for yourself or no?
No, because this goes to the whole offline dating thing. Like, I really like I had a really good week where life was good, and life in general can be very good. Like, real life, like offline life can be really good. And I went and I had this amazing day, and I stumbled into bed at 12 something at night. And normally late at night is when we all... And I know you gentlemen out there too. I see when you're online at 1:30 in the morning on these dating sites. Like, we all go on late night, like when we've come home a little boozed up and whatever. But I was feeling so good about life and about our past conversation with Kat Kinsman about owning it, and with our conversation with Shane Lyons about these big romantic gestures, and then our segment with Abigail Hitchcock, and we were talking about assuming everything is flirtation, is flirting. Like, this show has made me sort of just want to live bolder and bigger. And so I, that night in Minneapolis, canceled my online dating accounts. Like, didn't disable, I canceled.
I thought you were going to tell me you, like, went out at 1:30 in the morning and tried to, like, meet guys.
I thought about it, but it was a work trip. I had to, like, work. I had to be at a breakfast the next morning at 10 in the morning. No, but I felt really good to cancel these accounts. But my question, Ben, is how does one offline date?
And again, I feel like this is an awful thing that we have to, like, as, you know, adults in our 30s, have to kind of remind ourselves and discuss how to date real human beings as opposed to the little avatars that we see online.
So how do you want a lady to offline date you? How would that happen for you ideally?
It sounds dirty when you say it like that.
I know. I wanted to offline date you.
Oh, baby. No.
If you didn't know me and I were to meet you out in the world, how would I date with you? Yeah, how would I get a date with you?
Well, good question. I mean, I think it would start as a conversation. I think, you know, it's funny. You shared with me today this little video.
Yes, it's a video called Offline Dating by this guy, Tom, in London. It's a 6-minute video. If you just Google offline dating, Tom, it'll come up, and it's precious.
And in it, the guy needed to find a date in a week, and he wanted to do it offline.
Yeah, he was challenging himself specifically to find a date offline.
Yes, and he was probably in his 30s seemed.
Groomed. And I mean, everything a girl wants in a guy, you know.
He was your dream man? You should call him.
He was groomed and he speaks English.
You're talking about how empowered you are feeling about finding the right man if he's your dream man.
Anyway.
In his video, he needs to find a date in a week, and he has decided to do it offline. His approach, however, I don't know if I was into his approach.
Well, because he's just going up and talking to girls on the street.
Exactly.
In a park while he's jogging. It's very just like going up to women. It's not like chatting them up at a bar.
Right. Or anywhere else that he might be going because he wants to be going.
Right.
See, to me, I'd rather, in my ideal situation, would rather meet someone or be approached by someone somewhere where we have a common interest. Or,
that's true.
You know,
but
doing things that I want to do or out in my life that I'm living, not because I'm trying to find a date, but because I am living my interesting single life, and I find someone else who's we're living their interesting single life.
I mean, I guess you could say that some of them were, though. Like, he's jogging and he talks to other joggers, or he's out sitting in a park and he talks to other people sitting in a park. Like, I found it interesting that some women would actually engage him in conversation, and it wouldn't just be like, no thanks. Like, they'd be like, wait, what do you mean? You mean right now? Why are you asking? And like, later in the video, you know, this one woman is like, I commend you for doing this the old fashioned way. Like, this older woman, like a woman with a younger girl that, you know, that he was asking. Like, she thought it was very gentlemanly. It was very precious, you know?
Interesting. But you know, it's interesting too, because as a guy, I also find like I'm nervous approaching women in the real world as opposed to online, not only because of the natural fear of rejection and all of that comes along with it, but because of all of the talk about like street harassment and about like,
yeah, but that's very, but somebody talking to you is very different than guys.
Yes, but
who
as
talk
a guy, it's
you.
It's as a guy, I must admit that it's a little, I don't ever want to be one who makes someone feel uncomfortable or makes someone feel as though they're being viewed, you know,
very fair. So how do you do
objectified
it?
Or anything like that. So I think it has to start with a conversation, a common interest, or a clear sign that there's at least some initial level of mutual interest.
What's a clear sign? Because I get stuck on this tweet that it keeps going out on the internet that's like, oh, if she touches her hair, you know, then she's interested in you. And I'm like, really? That's a clear... Like, I touch my hair all the time. It doesn't mean that I'm...
Well, you have beautiful hair.
Well, thank you. It does not mean that I'm interested in the person in front of me necessarily. But,
Well, I don't know. How do you typically let a guy know you're interested?
I think in general, like, as far as showing somebody physically, is like you lean towards them versus leaning away. I'm a big fan of if a guy puts his hand on my knee or my arm, just making a casual physical contact. I feel like if you do that and the person either does it back where they put their hand over yours, or then they reciprocate and touch you physically, versus if they don't, if they lean back, like if a guy touches me that I don't want to touch me, I'm going to sort of lean back and put more space between us. So are you making the space smaller between you?
It's so awkward when you like go for the touch. And then, like, you, like, put your hand on the knee or the leg, and then there's just, like, nothing, and you're just, like, now you've got your hand there, and there's, like, no energy being reciprocated, and you're just, like, oh,
yeah,
man, I'm stuck
well,
here.
Well, let's say that you have
made the move, and
let's
now I'm
say that
fucked.
You're, let's say that you've made the move, and she's made the move back, and I'm asking selfishly, like, because I don't want to, like, have to ask the guy out is the thing. Like, this whole offline dating, it's not like I want to be the one doing it, but how can I clearly convey to you that I'm interested, that I want you to ask me out at the end of this random meeting, or I want you to ask for my number?
I think you can just ask me for my number. or you can, or can just I, or give can, me your number.
I was going to say, can or, I do that? Can I say like, hey, can I give you my number?
Absolutely. Because
I'd feel much cooler saying that, like, hey, can I give you my number? Rather than be like, hey, can I give you
Are you
going to
use that voice too?
No, I know.
And I'll be like, I'm yeah, baby. I'll take your number.
Hey, can I give you my number?
Sure thing. Sweet tits.
We're so creepy in here right now. You just said sweet tits. That's
yes,
gross.
I did. Wait, girls don't like to be called that.
I can only speak for one.
We'll ask our guest later if she likes the nickname Sweet Tits.
Sweet Tits.
I'm going to assume she doesn't.
All right. Well, we're one step closer to offline dating. At the end of our show today, we're going to take this radio, our profiles to the radio. So I guess we'll hopefully by the end of the show have a clearer picture of how to ask you guys how to date us.
This is true. But before then,
yes,
we are going to speak with Jessica Tom about her upcoming novel, Food Whore. I can't wait. Right now, we're going to take a short break with music by Keto.
Ooh.
Still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
And welcome back to the show. I'm so excited that we have Jessica Tom in our studio today. Jess is the author of the upcoming novel Food Whore, out next week on Tuesday the 27th from HarperCollins. In it, grad student and aspiring food writer Tia Monroe claws her way up the food industry in New York City, battling cantankerous reviewers, aloof idols, and star-hungry hot chefs. It's a really, really fun read, and I really hope you buy it. She also worked at the dating app How About We from 2012 to 2014. So if you joined during that time, she's the one who sent you your first welcome message. She is.
I think
Jess.
I got one of those.
Really?
Yeah,
she's
that was
Jess
me.
From How About
Did you message me back?
I don't think so.
I can look that up.
Oh, great. Now I'm excited to find out our How About We scores here. You can meet Jess in person at her book launch event at Powerhouse Arena on November 2nd and get more info about all of this at jessicatom.com. Welcome to Love Bites, Jessica.
Hi, thank you.
So happy to have you here, Jessica. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
So I'm going to jump right in with a tough question. So your novel, Food Whore, isn't biographical per se, but many of the restaurants are based on real ones here in the city, and it was a really fun sort of scavenger hunt to be like, oh, I think they're talking about 11 Madison or Gramercy Tavern or this and that. And the general hunger for a young woman to get to the top of a competitive food field is very real. But there's also like the hot, sexy chef part of the book too.
The juicy
so
stuff.
Is the juicy stuff from real life experience or from people you know who have had real life experience?
Well, have I lived those exact scenarios? No.
Ah, darn it.
Yeah. But I do, a lot of the knowledge comes from, I dated a waiter when I was in college. And so I was a student.
You poor
he was
thing.
A waiter. yeah. Well, you know, I was doing research, whatever. So,
That's
so
what
like,
this whole show is. This whole show is research.
Yeah. So for a while, I was like, I had my college friends and then I also had his friends too at the restaurant. And so, like, I was hanging out with, like, the cooks and the waiters and going to their parties. And they would invite me into the kitchen and to, to like the tastings and stuff. So
did
I really
have
felt...
like chefs hit on you?
No, because I was dating this other guy.
Gotcha.
But I could like get that sense that that was something that could happen. And then I have friends who are dating chefs. I actually don't have a friend who's married to a chef, and I think that's
not
maybe
uncommon.
Telling.
A lot of friends who are dating chefs.
Yes.
So did any of them give you like the juicy details for? Because there's a lot of, I don't want to give away what happens in the novel, but there's the, you know, the typical hot young chef who's very sexy and everybody wants to, you know, touch avocados with him. I just made that up. I don't know what that means. Because literally there is a grocery store scene in the book. So that's what I meant by
yeah, there might have been, there was an ostrich egg.
An ostrich egg. That's what it was. Yeah. They want to touch ostriches together.
Yeah, no, I have a couple. I have like five friends who are dating chefs, and they, you know, the sense that I get from them is, yeah, I mean, it's really appealing. It's really sexy to have a guy cook for you. I have this friend, and she was dating this chef, and she was like, oh, I'm hungry. And he came over 15 minutes later with foie gras donuts.
Ugh.
And like, that's like,
oh,
even
man.
Like, it's you like don't even like have to have sex.
Seamless ever.
Yeah.
Like I've got sexy seamless dial.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually, that's a little bit in my book too, where the sexy chef comes and delivers donuts to the main character, Tia.
So was it dating this waiter then that prompted the interest in the food world, or like what gave you the impetus for the book?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in food, and I was just sort of looking into, like, I was trying to figure out what my in was going to be, a lot like the main character in the book. And so in college, I was an English major, and I was a writing concentration. And so when I graduated college and I came to New York, I was like, okay, so what am I going to do? Do I want to become a food writer? Do I want a food podcast? Do I want to work in a magazine? But then I looked at my background and what I had been trained in, and that was fiction writing. And then sort of I just tapped my knowledge with this guy that I dated. And just
tapped
everything.
Sorry.
Tap my knowledge. Yeah.
Sorry, I just looked at Ben and Ben like, a stupid smirk.
You're the only one dirty enough to say it.
Oh, you know, all right.
He didn't mind that.
Yeah. Oh, see?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and then like, you know, living in New York, I'm reading like Eater and Grub Street and all these other blogs. And back then there was like no Instagram. But, you know, all of that stuff that I'm, all of that information that I'm consuming anyway, just for fun, you know, went into my book.
And it works very well in the book. How does How About We play into all of this? How did you work at a dating app?
Yeah, so I was the community director at How About We. And so what that meant was that I was the point person for all of like 2 million some users. So I knew, I had the pulse of what the community was feeling at any given time. So that could be from managing customer service and knowing what all the problems were, to knowing like the success stories, people who got married, who had kids. And like, that was really nice getting emails from those people, to the people who were having like terrible experiences and like police were involved.
Can you share any of the terrible experiences?
I mean, some of them I was like literally subpoenaed, so like I can't
really
play
a relationship.
Scandalous.
Say anything.
Well, what's an example of something maybe not quite so extreme that we're going to have lawyers, you know?
No, I mean,
studio door.
You know, the thing that you would assume with any dating site, and actually, you know, the site isn't liable for any of this stuff.
So like stalking, or
yeah, I mean stalking. I mean, they're like, you know, when you go out with a stranger, you know, there's
risk.
There's
yeah,
risk. Yeah. So like, you know, the things that you can extrapolate from that. So stalking, rape, you know, and it goes from there. But yeah, that was like the best. I mean, no. That was like, you know, a fraction of a fraction.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of how it came to bear on the book, you know, it taught me a lot about, I mean, nothing about love really shocks me anymore.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I feel like I'm still, I feel like in our 30s, we sort of are getting more boring anyway. Like part of the whole like going offline and owning shit feels like something that we're sort of having to re-grab. Like I think
that's part of it though, is that like, because nothing shocks us anymore, it's all just kind of like, this is going to like,
but
I've been through that, seen that before, seen this before.
I feel like that must put you at a, sort of a disadvantage. What if you were dating? Like, you're engaged now, so you're sort of, it's not part of the equation. But, like, did you get disheartened by knowing, ever seeing all and knowing, being like the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, but it was balanced, you know. So for every email that I would get that was like, like, this is shit, I want to cancel my account, like, I've been on this for like 5 years and I haven't been on one date. Oh. And I'm like, that's your fault. Well, yeah, I would never say that, but that's really depressing. And then you know, you'll get emails be like, can you look at my profile? Like, I've written 50 messages and I've gotten no messages back.
Man, that makes me feel so much better about myself. It's awful. I should be feeling terrible for all these people who had a terrible experience, but instead I'm just like, oh, I've gotten a couple messages back. I must be pretty stellar.
I mean, that's terrible. You know, like, as being the community director, it really gave me a perspective of, like, you know, all these people looking for love under the sun. And it's, you know, it can be disheartening, but it's also really, you know, kind of like life affirming in a way too, because like people are all on this mission and they're doing it in the best way that they can. And they're putting their best foot forward. And a lot of times it turns out and you know, concludes in relationships and marriages and whatever.
Did your fiance come into the picture before, during, or after your time at How About We?
My fiance came during my time. He actually not through the site, but he actually worked at the site as an employee.
Wow, so there was a love connection in the office.
Yeah. I never thought, you know, you always figure you work in an office and there's always going to be this office relationship. I never thought that was going to be me.
Right.
And yet it was. Wow. So.
What was his role at How About We?
He was the CTO, and I worked in marketing, so like we didn't really cross paths at all. And, you know, I think like my book is a lot about like, you know, the scene of New York and like being cool and knowing the hottest places. And my fiance is like the opposite of that. He's like a tech nerd.
Sort of like one of the characters in your book. The boyfriend.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
He's not a tech nerd, but he's a bio nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually based that person in my book is based on someone else.
Really?
Not
he's
my
a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Ooh, how does your boyfriend feel about that?
Well, I started writing this like way before I even knew him, so he can't take offense.
Is the main character, how much would you say the main character, Tia, is based on you?
I think a lot. You know, I hate to be like so cliche, but you know, people say that your first book is like the most autobiographical.
And you write what you know. You know, I mean, I think it's impossible not to be autobiographical in some way.
Yeah.
Or if it's not autobiographical in some way, it's probably not quite as honest as it could be, right?
Yeah, so yeah, I think totally. It's a good thing. Totally. And it's, you know, the story that was burning in my chest the most, and that's my story, you know. But obviously there are a lot of things into it. Like the whole premise of the book I didn't go through.
So both from your experience being the writer of this beautiful novel and from your time at How About We talked last week with Kat Kinsman about owning just who you are. And like I was saying earlier in the show, we've talked about assuming everything is flirting. You've mentioned how, you know, some people, you saw a lot of marriages and babies come from the dating site. Like, did you see anything that sort of put people higher up on the road to success, both in dating primarily, but also, you know, your book is based in the food field, like just as far as like people putting their best selves forward to go further in their lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that How About We is like a very particular type. I mean, it's a general site, but like if you're looking for just like straight up hookups, it's probably not the best site for you to
go on.
Well,
it's funny we talked about offline dating before because it's sort of like the online dating app to get offline. It's like, let's go and do something.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I would say that How About We is like more of a general website. So, you know, I think what really worked for that site was like, I mean, I don't even know if this is helpful. It's just like being like normal and respectful. And not take people's time for granted.
That's a big one that Ben and I talk about with online dating is that you can have like a million messages and then you don't actually get together or you text a lot and it goes nowhere.
I mean, I think this is true of dating in general is that people are flaky, you know, and you maybe have someone, I mean, look, people are single for a reason, right? And part of that is because, you know, they're either picky or they haven't found what they're looking for or they're emotionally unavailable for whatever reason.
Or I think just flat out people don't know how to communicate in person anymore.
Agreed.
I think that's a big thing.
Or people are afraid to really say, hey, look, I'm just not that interested.
Right.
Or
to say, hey, I'm interested. Can I get your number? Like it's on both sides of that completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Did you have something?
I mean, just that. I think flakiness, as you were saying, flakiness is a huge problem. And I think you're right that to find success in dating. It's important to value other people's time and to be straight up about where you're at, what you're looking for. And if you are available and want to spend time with that person, make it known. And if you're not, make that known as well.
Yeah, completely. I want to switch the discussion very quickly before we have to head out. That we were talking before the show about how hard it was to get this book made. And it was not something we planned on talking about, but Ben has got a play in development. I've got a book going out to publishers. You've got this novel coming out next week. How hard was it to make it an actual book? Not a book that you'd written, but a book that's going to get published and sold.
Yeah, so it took me about a year and a half to write the book. It took me about 2 years to revise the book all in. But I started writing the book in 2009, and the bulk of the time was just in trying to find an agent and finding an editor, getting rejected by all of those agents and editors.
How many rounds did it take you to get a publisher on board?
It took me three rounds.
Three
so
rounds.
Originally, and there were a ton of rewrites. I mean, like, the I cannot even think about all of the pages that I threw away. And yeah, I wanted to give up a lot of times. And like, even people who are really close to me and who really believe in me were like, Jess, you just lay off a little bit, because I saw how tortured I was by it and how upset I was. But, you know, in the end, I did the work. And, you know, then now the book is coming out next week. And I really believe that, you know, whatever, a lot of people are talented. A lot of people have great ideas. But if you want something to happen, you have to put in the hard work. And there's no one who has ever. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like, and luckily there are a lot of people in New York who know how to do that, too.
Awesome.
And who will support you. And if you're like, no, I can't hang out and I have to work on this book, they think, cool. Yeah, I get it. You have your hustle on.
Well,
yeah,
we are very excited for you. We wish you and Food Whore all of the best luck there is.
Yes.
And we think it's going to be a great success.
Cool. Thanks so much. This was super fun.
All right. We're going to move on really quickly to our final portion of the show today, where Jacqueline and I are going to make a call out to you, our listeners.
Or friends of our listeners.
Both.
Yeah.
To hook us up a little bit, because we're trying to get offline.
It's been 6 weeks that we've been doing this for you.
Yeah, seriously. It's time to get a little something in return here. And so we are going to give our dating pitch, perhaps. Or
I guess, and we haven't even thought of this. This is totally
winging it right here.
Yes.
And Jessica, you could tell us if like what we're looking for is totally unreasonable or not. So feel free to like jump in here.
Okay.
But Jacqueline and I are going to say a little bit about what we're looking for. And if you know someone who fits this bill, or you listening to this are someone who fits this bill, send us an email to lovebitesradio@gmail.com. And, you know, tell us if maybe you're interested in one of us, or hook us up with one of your friends, or send us a question if you have one, and we will pose it at the end of one of our shows. But Jacqueline, why don't you say first what you might be looking for?
Okay. Well, I discovered during our interview session with our producer, Jack Inslee, that I like manly feminists. So basically, I'm 34, so if you're anywhere between like 35 and like 45 or 50, generally I fall for artists, you know, like, but people who are like doing their art, not like, oh, I'm a filmmaker and I'm making my first film, like, you know, be a filmmaker, be an actor, be a writer, be a musician, be like, you know, be doing whatever you want to do. I'm not a crazy partier anymore, but I do have to go out for work a lot, so I need a date who can clean themselves up and come and schmooze with food people. I have a dog. I love dogs. I love going out in the country. I want a cabin someday. I like going to movies and nerding out at really good movies. I obviously am big into food, but if you use the word foodie with me, I will immediately write you off, because I think it's a very stupid word.
You're so pretentious.
Just that one word. I feel like it's just that one word. It might be another word. I don't know. Am I missing anything, Ben? Like, I feel like that's a fair assessment of the kind of guy I'm looking for. I live in Washington Heights. I will travel to Brooklyn if you'll travel to Washington Heights.
She does live way up in Manhattan, but don't be scared, because the train gets you there really quickly.
Really quickly. And it's beautiful where I live. And I have
it
a
is
big
gorgeous.
Kitchen. And I make dinner. If you
and
come
she
over,
cooks.
I cook.
So she likes hungry
and
men.
Hungry, manly, yeah, hungry feminists. Man. I think that's my pitch. What do you think, Jess? You think that works?
Yeah, you know, I think what about like values.
I think. Values? Yeah. Well, well, that, I mean, like, I don't want a family. That's a good thing. Mm. Like, I love family. I'm close to my family. I don't want children. So I guess that's a good thing to point out. I am not religiously affiliated, but I'm spiritual, but I don't care if you're not. And I just believe that good people should be good people for the sake of being good, that nobody should have to tell you to be better tomorrow than you are today, that that should be something that everybody tries to do in their life. We try to be smarter and kinder and more generous tomorrow than we are today. So that's a good point. Thank you.
I am looking...
Uh-oh. It's going to take a dark turn. Oh, I'm just kidding.
For a homicidal ice queen. No, I am looking for a ferociously intelligent woman who... who knows herself and is passionately curious and has an insatiable lust for life and knowledge, and most importantly, self-knowledge and self-awareness.
I want to add that into mine too. Sorry, self-awareness. Thank you.
It's very important to me that that the person I am with is constantly seeking to know themselves better, to improve themselves, improve herself, and to continue growing. I want to continue. For me, the most important thing in life is my own personal growth, and I need someone who is also striving for that within herself and is able to support me in that journey for myself. And if they are fun and flirtatious and sexy and social and passionate about what they do, that is very helpful as well.
That's all we want, people. That's all we want. Help us find that.
I think that's it for our show today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Jessica Tom, and for being with us today.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah. Next week, we have Will and Julie Horowitz joining us. They are the brother-sister team that own Duck's Eatery in the East Village and the relatively newly opened Harry and Ida's. That's all for our show this week. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. Leave us your listener asked questions, and we will be back next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.